got to see if we're safe. Let's get one of those manacles off. We can cut it with that tri-barrel of yours, JB. Do mine first.
Wait a minute. Something just occurred to me. There could be a backup system for the cuffs somewhere else in the compound. We haven't searched the whole place yet.
Who the hell has time for that?
JB, cut one of mine first.
What? So you can be the one-eyed, one-handed warrior?
To my left hand, JB.
JB didn't hesitate. It wasn't the kind of decision made easier by a pause to reflect. He angled the muzzle under the manacle. The green beam sawed through the cuff, cutting a neat slot across it, about an inch wide.
Guess we chilled the bastard.
Which means we can help free Mildred and the others.
There's something else we've got to see first.
Christy quickly explained what had happened to her, why she'd been kidnapped, and what Dreda and her sisters intended to do with what they'd stolen from her and Ryan. She pointed to the one on the floor, who was just beginning to stir.
That one told me they were getting ready to make another jump.
From what's going on outside, that sounds about right.
No way am I going to father an army of these hell bitches. Before they jump, we'd better find that damn stuff and destroy it.
Four black wags skidded to a stop on the long straightaway above Mildred. There was nowhere for her to go. She couldn't back up. She couldn't proceed. As she braked the ore truck, the first two attack wags pulled side to side, so both could bring their forward weapons pods to bear. The cannons locked on target. The range was 150 feet.
Aw, man!
The cannons fired simultaneously. The double flash exploded into a blinding wall of green as the pulses slammed the ore wag's EM shield. The impact against the shield made the ore wag jolt backward, despite the fact that Mildred was holding down the brake. The six locked wheel slipped in reverse a good 20 feet, and the truck slewed slightly sideways.
I hesitate to bring up the matter, but there is a bit of a drop-off on this side.
Mildred glanced over Doc's shoulder and got a powerful rush of adrenaline.
A bit of a drop-off.
What loomed just off the shoulder of the road was a yawning crevasse. It looked bottomless. If they tipped over into it, they weren't coming out again. Craning her head around to look behind them, Mildred saw that the chasm necked down at its ground zero end, its ragged lips coming together, melding into a flat, glassy field. Even from where she sat, she could see the field was split by wide surface cracks. The assault wags sent a second dual blast their way. It had the same effect. The huge wheels, though locked, and the cargo box, though loaded with people and ore, were insufficient to anchor the wag where it was. Like an invisible hand, the blowback from the EM shield pushed the truck farther down the road, increasing the sideways cant, bringing the back wheels closer to the edge of nothingness.
Another shot. We go over.
Fuck this.
At the same instant the assault wags fired again, she mashed down the joystick speed button, plowing the nose of the ore truck into the next shot. The jolt sent the companions bouncing off the dashboard, but they lost no ground. Mildred crept the wag back into its original position. When the enemy tried another blast, she did the same thing, powering into the pulses. Again, she, Doc, Dean, and Jack were thrown into the dash. Again, they maintained their position.
You know I can't keep this up. If I screw up the timing just once, we're in deep trouble.
Doc, get out.
Can do what?
Drop road with them on.
That would most certainly solve our problem. How do you intend to manage it?
With these?
Jack slapped the side plate of the pulse rifle he picked up from the floorboards.
Undercut road with these. Make it slide into big hole.
I think our lad has something there, Mildred. The captured long blasters will cut through the supporting strata like hot knives through butter.
I'll take slaves from cargo box. Go around big hole. Hit road from other side.
What are the rest of us supposed to do while you're circling?
Keep troopers and wags. I'll go down at once.
With that, the albino teen popped open the passenger door and slipped out. Without a word, Dean, who was sitting beside him, grabbed a pulse rifle from the floor and ducked out behind him.
Dean, no! Come back!
The boy either ignored her or couldn't hear her for the scream of the laser cannons that once again pounded the truck's EM shield.
Shit!
As the wag slid backward out of control, Dean ran past the cargo box on Jack's heels. Not only was the boy light-footed, but he was also frisky and wild with excitement, like a pup who just evaded righteous punishment.
Armed ones! Follow me!
As six of the former Ground Zero residents piled over the rear gate of the cargo box, he and Dean sprinted down the road, keeping the wagon and its cab's EM shield between them and the enemy cannons. When they reached the point where the sides of the crevasse came together, Jack didn't stop, but turned for the shoulder.
Jack, the cops!
The albino didn't answer, and he didn't stop. To reach the firing location Lauren had in mind meant taking a treacherous route over glass. If they didn't reach it as quickly as possible, their effort would have been in vain. Jack took the off-road plunge in a mad leap, his eyes shut tight.
Jack!
The teen landed on the balls of his feet, and his feet remained attached to his ankles. His hands stayed stuck to his wrists.
Eat-wah!
Come on, y'all!
Dean jumped off the road, and the armed slaves followed him. Jack took them on an erratic route across the field of glass, dodging the branching surface cracks whenever he could, vaulting over them when he couldn't. The splits were only 6 feet wide, but they opened onto nothing. One look down told Dean that the chasm continued beneath their feet, that only thin bridges of glass separated them from the abyss. As they worked their way toward a ridge of rotten glass, its wafer-thin summit, like the back fin of some gigantic sailfish, shot through with thousands of holes from a century of wind-blown grit, they got their first side view of the straightaway. It hung precipitously over the drop-off, sitting atop a 200-foot-long mass of deeply undercut glass. Looking in that direction was painful. Mildred, Doc, and the slaves in the ore truck were taking hit after hit from the first two assault wags. The green glare of deflected laser pulses was tremendous. Once Jack, Dean, and their slaves moved onto the flat, they came under the cannons of the back pair of assault wags. The tortured squeals of air ripped asunder arrived a half second after the energy pulses impacted. Even though Jack anticipated the barrage and guided the men around the backside of the ridge, it offered no real cover. The blasts of big bore laser light burned 4-foot diameter holes through the glass, sending sprays of molten droplets flying. The beams continued on, flat and straight, through the next ridge, 75 yards away. Dean managed to avert his face from the mist of liquefied glass. It sizzled against the back of his coat. Two of the former slaves weren't so lucky. They turned to look at the explosion above them, and the fall of scorching droplets burned through their eyelids and into their eyes. Hands over their faces, they staggered back the way they had come.
Stop them! Somebody stop them!
When no one moved to help, the boy scrambled up from the glass. Jack grabbed him by the collar and pulled him back.
No, can't save.
They watched from the ridge as the blinded, pain-mad men blundered, stumbling into the maze of cracks. First one, then the other, was swallowed up by the glass.
The boy will be all right, Mildred. What is done is done. Jack will watch over him.
I'd feel better if he were with us.
The cannons hit the Orwag's EM shield again. Mildred reacted by thumbing the speed button.
We are going to have to get out.
If we get out, they'll push the wag off the road, and we need it for cover.
May I suggest that you advance up the grade? Halve the distance between ourselves and our enemies. If they persist in firing upon us, that will buy us precious minutes before our chariot is overthrown.
Mildred drove the wag forward 75 feet.
Let's move quick before they blast us again.
The two of them each seized a pulse rifle from the floor and jumped out of the driver's side of the wag's cab. It was also the cliffside. As they raced to the rear, Mildred glanced into the void. She saw sheer, striated walls angling together 500 feet down. They met in a bulge of glass that wasn't the bottom of the crevasse, but a second, narrower opening to a much deeper chamber. As she and Doc climbed up the sides of the cargo box, the wag took another double laser blast. They hung on as the truck slid backward, wheels crunching on the glass. Accompanying the flare of brilliant green light was a wave of withering heat, something they hadn't felt inside the protection of the cab. They joined the five armed slaves in the box.
Use your pulse rifles. We've got to try to keep the troopers in their wags.
Whatever you say, boss lady.
As they lined up along the front edge of the box, just above the cab's roof, she knew they had their work cut out for them. The assault wags' EM shields and the soldiers' battle suits would deflect their laser blasts.
If they come out, shoot at their feet.
Another blaze of green, followed by a blast of heat, made them duck back behind the cover of the box. The wag skidded down the road, its rear ends twisting closer to the edge. Then the rear pair of enemy wags opened fire. Not on them, but on Jack and the others, who were sprinting around the end of the chasm. The beams screamed across the road and slammed into the ridgetop opposite.
Bastards!
Mildred popped back up and fired. She used a sustained beam to define the limits of the forward wag's EM shields. She'd found it, some 15 feet in front of their bumpers, when a pod on the roof of the left-hand wag opened and the barrel emerged.
What now?
A projectile shot out. It flew almost straight up. It was very slow-moving. They could track it easily with their eyes. It arced high over the cab's EM shield before dropping toward the cargo box.
Aw, shit.
Mildred covered her head with her arms. Then the projectile disintegrated in midair. As it did, it sent a volley of smaller projectiles raining on them. The flechettes hissed like angry insects, their needle points